Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Golden State, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be, on the internet and around the world, I am your host, Lauren Cartagena, and thank you again for joining us on another edition of Radio Pangea, the show that reports the news for what it is, and without the false political paradigms that seem to be plaguing journalism and the media these days. We simply tell people to think for yourself. Getting to it today, the Arctic air that has chilled large swaths of the United States for days will culminate with a dangerous cold in Montana and Georgia as heavy snow falls in other parts of the country. People in Dakota, North Dakota, will face life-threatening cold and the risk of frostbite with exposure of 10 minutes or less, the National Weather Service has said. In Montana, dangerous winds are expected to last through the weekend, and people should guard against hypothermia. Temperatures in parts of Montana could plummet to record lows for this day and around minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit or negative 34 degrees Celsius. The bitter cold comes from blasts of Arctic air, the second one this week, blowing south from Canada across the U.S. border into the northern plains of the United States and the Midwest. It has joined forces with a storm that has swept in from the Pacific, bringing a large snowfall to large sections of the northern United States as it chugs across the country to the East Coast. Areas of Wisconsin, Indiana, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine will see the heaviest snowfall from the storm, with up to 6 inches or 15 centimeters of accumulation possible in those regions. And the extreme cold could snarl traffic for several parts of the country, from north central Montana to where the National Weather Service has warned the possibility of snowing drifts on the road to Philadelphia, where the forecast calls for icy rain. So be careful out there, because in another story, all of this cold weather that has been gripping the United States has led to 3 people dying after a pair of multi-vehicle crashes on I-95 in Baltimore this morning. The first crash occurred early in the morning on the northbound interstate near Eastern Avenue, and one driver died after getting out of a disabled vehicle to avoid being struck and falling over the wall of an elevated highway. The second incident, shortly after that, on I-95 northbound again near Canton Avenue, a tractor-trailer tanker was traveling on the road, lost control, hit the wall, flipped over on the elevated portion of the highway onto a railroad track below. When it hit, there was an explosion and a large fire broke out. Debris from the crash and explosion landed on both the northbound and southbound lanes of the highway, causing a major pileup in the northern areas. As of this evening, there are believed to have been 67 vehicles involved in the pileup, but there is a possibility that the number could increase. 2 people died in the crash, the driver of the tanker and another driver, and officials say they are still trying to determine the total number of people injured to the extent of any injuries. Patients were transported to various hospitals in the Baltimore region for treatment. Well, in a story that simply will not go away, it's still not over. It's been 20 years since child beauty pageant contestant queen JonBenet Ramsey was found dead in her parents' basement, and the Colorado police announced plans to conduct new DNA tests. Weirdly, its local TV station that prompted the new investigation, apparently KUSA-TV in Denver, discovered some flaws in earlier testing of the DNA on JonBenet's pajamas and underwear. Most shockingly, the investigation found that the DNA evidence in the case doesn't clear her family from all suspicion of her death. The Boulder Police Department wants to retest those genetic samples using more advanced technology. Then, those results would be run through several other databases, including an FBI one with DNA profiles of more than 15.1 known offenders and arrestees. We could be doing all reasonable testing that we can do, and we will, Boulder District Attorney Stan Garnett told the Daily Camera. Boulder Police Chief Greg Testa also told the publication that the Colorado Bureau of Investigation will look at new technology to see if it could help further the investigation. We're going to keep our eyes on that And we're going to keep reporting on this because 20 years later, what happened to JonBenet? If you follow the story, her mother, who was originally accused of having some involvement because it was thought that the mother had written the ransom note, Patsy Ramsey, died a few years back. So no one has ever been charged, and it still is one of the greatest unsolved murder crimes in the United States. Also in the United States, the U.S. State Department has doubled the bounty on the head of a shadowy leader of the Islamic State group, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, to $25 million U.S. The announcement that the State Department Rewards for Justice program came as action-backed local forces close in on the jihadist movement's main urban strongholds in Iraq, Syria, and the cities of Mosul and Raqqa. The cash will be paid to anyone who can offer information leading to the information, location, arrest, or conviction of the elusive militant known to his followers as Caliph Ibrahim. Under al-Baghdadi, ISIL, or ISIS as it's also been known, has been responsible for the death of thousands of civilians in the Middle East, including the brutal murder of numerous civilian hostages from Japan, the United Kingdom, and the United States. The group has also conducted chemical weapons attacks in Iraq and Syria in defiance of a long-standing global norm against the use of those weapons. Baghdadi has kept a low profile, despite having declared himself the leader of the renewed Muslim caliphate, but last month released a defiant audio message urging his supporters to defend Mosul at all cost. It is not clear if he is in the besieged city, where he declared his caliphate in 2014 after the IS group seized territory covering much of eastern Syria and northern Iraq. The video, which shows a man with a black and gray beard wearing a black robe and matching turban, is the only one IS has released of Baghdadi to date. He is reportedly wounded in U.S.-led coalition airstrikes multiple times, but the claims have never been verified, and his apparent survival adds more to his mystique. According to official Iraqi documents, Baghdadi was born in Samarra in 1971 and has four children with his first wife, two boys and two girls born between 2000 and 2008. An Iraqi intelligence reports that Baghdadi has a Ph.D. in Islamic studies and was a professor at Tikrit University. Baghdadi apparently joined the insurgency that erupted after the 2003 U.S.-led invasion of Iraq and spent time in an American military prison. Moving on. We are going to be moving on to the depths of the Pacific Ocean. An otherworldly noise that was recorded near the Marianas Trench could be a never-heard-before whale call, dubbed the Western Pacific Beotwag. This newly discovered call might be from a mink whale, a type of baleen whale, according to researchers, who documented the vocalization. Regardless of what species it is, the whale has a range. The call includes a span frequencies that reach as low as 38 hertz and as high as 8,000 hertz. Humans can hear sounds between 20 and 20,000 hertz. The call was recorded with autonomous seafaring robots known as passive acoustic ocean gliders, which can dive up to 3,280 feet or just over 1,000 meters below the surface. Scientists say they can send these devices out to solo motions to eavesdrop on whale conversations. Data collected from the acoustic measurements in the fall of 2014 and the spring of 2015 in the area of the Pacific Ocean east of Guam around the Marianas Trench, the deepest part of the ocean. The twangy five-part call, which lasts just 3.5 seconds, was recorded regularly during both the fall and spring. The researchers hoped that other scientists will identify the call and other data sets so they can confirm the source. Because of the call's complex structure, frequencies, and metallic sounding conclusions, the researchers think that it most closely resembles the regionally specific calls that are produced by a group of dwarf mink whales off the northeast coast of Australia. Now, these calls
sound like a bit of Star Wars sound effects, say researchers. They added that there are several types of mink whales in the surveyed area, but not much is known about their behavior, especially their vocal behavior. So, maybe these strange noises are whales? Maybe they're not. This is another story that we're going to follow. What exactly is making these sounds in the ocean? Well, from the ocean back to land, this next topic has garnered a lot of controversy for many, many reasons. We're going to talk about medical marijuana. This year marked a turning point for marijuana as both a cultural movement as an industry. Polls show a record percentage of Americans now favor legalization, and most of us already live in a state with some form of legal or medical cannabis. In California, home to more than a tenth of the U.S. population and sixth largest economy in the world, just approved medical marijuana and recreational medical recreational marijuana this past November. In 2017, expect the momentum to grow even further. Cannabis and the cementing of the industry. Los Angeles will emerge as a marijuana capital of the world. The financial industry has Wall Street, the tech industry has Silicon Valley, and the cannabis industry will now have Los Angeles. No disrespect to Denver, but Los Angeles is about to come out of the shadows and steal the spotlight. By some estimates, Los Angeles' medical cannabis market is already worth close to $1 billion, larger than Colorado's entire recreational market, okay? We're not even talking about recreational use so far in Los Angeles. The medical market alone is worth all of Colorado's market. Unfortunately, most of the business operates in shadows. But that is about to change. In early 2017, the city is expected to pass an ordinance that will clear the path for the proper licensing program and pave way for a robust recreational market. Surrounding cities are joining in with programs of their own that will support cultivation, production, and lab facilities. Investors have taken notice too. The capital is flowing to fund local ventures. Meanwhile, California State Treasurer recently launched a working group to address the cannabis industry's banking challenges. So expect to hear big news out of this. Secondly, a major U.S. sports league will approve the use of cannabis. Ricky Williams, Kyle Turley, Centrell Henderson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Phil Jackson, Stephen Kerr, and a list of professional athletes retired or still playing who have coped using marijuana is long and growing. In Ricky Williams' case, the former NFL star has turned his love of cannabis and sports into a business. He and a partner are expected to open what has been dubbed the world's first cannabis gym in San Francisco, serving medical marijuana-infused products to its members. Whether cannabis helps the athletic performance is debatable, but what is becoming increasingly evident is that marijuana helps relieve pain, a common condition for those who bang their bodies for a living. Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, has been quoted as saying, "I don't think there's any question that pot is better for your body than Vicodin, and yet athletes everywhere are prescribed vitamin like it's vitamin C, like it's no big deal." Some, like Henderson, an offensive lineman for the Buffalo Bills, are choosing to violate league rules for the sake of their health. That shouldn't be. The league won't be able to ignore the clarion change. The call for change much longer. Medical marijuana is legal in 29 states now. And with professional teams, traveling schedules, it shouldn't be too hard to implement a program that doesn't run afoul with the law. The time has come. 3. A marijuana-themed show will make its primetime network debut. If television is a mirror to our society, the network television is angled to reflect our mainstream side. Major networks seldom break ground on cultural trends. Rather, they build them up, carefully gauging society's new norms. When Ellen DeGeneres landed her own show in 1994, she had not yet come out. She did eventually, in real life and in character. Shortly after, Will and Grace made television history featuring an openly gay men. It's been more of a decade since Showtime launched Weeds, about a suburban mom selling pot to make ends meet. Fast forward to 2016, and smoking weed on TV has become almost blasé. A couple of pot-themed shows, High Maintenance on HBO and Mary and Jane on MTV, made their debut this fall to positive reviews. The stark difference between Weeds and this year's show is that the former focused on illicit aspects of drug dealing, whereas the latter treated pot selling as a business enterprise. You're listening to Radio Pangea. When we return, we're going to get to our health segment of the day. We're going to talk about high blood pressure. If you have it, like many Americans do, or many people around the world do, we're going to give you a list of foods that you should try to avoid or limit your intake of. We're going to talk about Corpus Christi and the residents that have been told to stop using their drinking water because of a contamination leak. And also, just what is going on in Japan with the Asian flu virus. Apparently, many birds are being slaughtered as we speak. That and much more. You are listening to the one, the only, Radio Pangea. We'll be back. And we're back with Radio Pangea. If you like what you hear, please check us out, youtube.com/Pangea Foundation, or email us at pangeafoundation@gmail.com, PANGAEA, Foundation, all one word, @gmail.com, pangeafoundation@gmail.com.
getting to our health segment today, high blood pressure is a common health issue and one that requires active management. According to the U.S. Center of Disease Control and Prevention, 1 in 3 U.S. adults has high blood pressure. Surprisingly, only about half of these people have it under control. Known as a silent killer, uncontrolled high blood pressure can lead to serious health risk and even death. The American Heart Association says, while your doctor may be the first one to spot it, it's up to you to stay on top of it to keep your blood pressure where it needs to be. You're the only one that has the ability to be the best wellness advocate, so knowing what's helping and harming your overall health is key. If your doctor has determined you have high blood pressure, there are about 22 foods that you should limit or avoid. If you have high blood pressure, you need to particularly be mindful of how much sodium you consume on a daily basis. The AHA explains water is pulled into the blood vessels when you have excess sodium in your system, increasing the amount of blood and ultimately causing your blood pressure to increase. The same story adds about 77% of sodium consumed comes from packaged, prepared, and restaurant food. What's even more frightening is that there's another 12% comes from food and naturally contains sodium, which still doesn't account for your salt shaker. So, to help people limit their salt intake, here is a list of foods that added the most sodium to your diet, so you definitely want to avoid or limit them. Let's go with the first one, breads and rolls. One piece can contain 230 milligrams. Cold cuts and cured meats. Prepackaged turkey can contain 1,050 milligrams. Pizza, one slice, contains 760 milligrams. Poultry, 3 ounces of frozen or breaded nuggets can contain 600 milligrams. Soup, 1 cup of canned chicken noodle soup can contain 940 milligrams of salt. That's 35% to 40% of your daily intake right there. Sandwiches. In all, your sandwich can easily surpass 1,500 milligrams. Saturated fats and cholesterol in your blood, which can increase your risk of heart disease and stroke. So it's important for those with high blood pressure to be aware of how much they're eating. The AHA recommends eating no more than 6% of your daily calories from saturated fats. So this means you want to cut back or limit these 6 foods. 1. Fatty beef. 2. Lamb. 3. Pork. 4. Its byproduct, lard and cream. 5. Butter. And 6. Cheese. Sugar has also been known to contribute to obesity, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. So, here are 5 treats that you should limit. Sugar-sweetened beverages, such as sodas, candy, grain-based desserts like cookies, cakes, and pies, fruit drinks, and finally, dairy desserts and milk products like ice cream and sweetened yogurt. Okay? Now, finally, trans fats raise your bad LDL cholesterol and lowers your good HDL cholesterol levels. Eating trans fats increase your risk of developing heart disease and stroke. So, if you're associated with a higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes, you should really limit or avoid non-dairy coffee creamers, peanut butter, popcorn, frozen pizza, and margarine. So, may sound like no fun, but that's what's going to happen. In Texas, the city of Corpus Christi told 320,000 residents to stop using tap water due to the possible contamination from industrial chemical leaks and said it will distribute bottled water to its residents. The city said it's investigating the possible leak of up to 24 gallons of asphalt emulsifier. The governor's office said it will start shipping drinking water to the city and is aggressively monitoring the situation. The chemical can cause eye and skin burns, respiratory tract irritation, and damage to the digestive system. The Gulf of Mexico coastal city, home to oil and petrochemical operations and a large port, recently asked residents to use only bottled water and to avoid showering with tap water until it could verify the water supply was safe. The expected city water test results and told residents to discontinue tap water use until it had been cleared. The chemical may have contaminated Corpus Christi's drinking water, which is called a backflow incident in the industrial district, the city said, without providing further details. Energy company Valero said it believed the possible backflow problem came from a third-party operation in its terminal asphalt facility. So, there you go. Oil company polluting the waterways. You know, the Indians at Standing Rock, the Fighting Sioux, said that was going to happen. And guess what? Corpus Christi is not even on a reservation, and 320,000 residents are being told not to touch or bathe in tap water. Water rights. It's a big topic, and that's why we follow it. Also a big topic that's not making much news, Japan has begun slaughtering about 210,000 farm birds in the northern Hokkaido prefecture to contain another outbreak of highly contagious strain of avian flu. This is the fifth mass cull this winter in Japan, with hundreds of officials working to prevent the spread of the virulent H5 strain, which has been detected at several farms across Japan. Just weeks earlier, outbreaks led to a cull of 550,000 chickens in the central city of Niigata and 23,000 ducks in the Aomori prefecture of South Hokkaido. Authorities have also banned the transportation of poultry and poultry products in areas of those affected farms while sterilizing the main roads leading to them. But the progress has been slow, with just about 32,000 chickens at a farm killed in Shimizu in the northern Hokkaido city. Moving on, we're going to talk about Hamas and their armed wing, the Qassam Brigades, said that Mohammed Zawahiri was gunned down near the city of Safas and had been a member of the group for 10 years and had been supervising its drone program. Yes, the guy who ran the drone program for Hamas has been shot dead. Hamas, which rules the Gaza Strip, did not offer any evidence to support its accusation, but claims that the Israeli military is responsible. The Tunisian Interior Ministry said Zawahiri was killed in his car by multiple gunshots in front of his house. Four rental cars were used in the killing, and two handguns and silencers were seized. Authorities have not commented on who is the suspected of behind the killing. Israel has had a past voice concerns that armed Hamas and Gaza would deploy drones carrying explosives inside its borders. It was first in September, the Israeli army said it had intercepted a drone off the coast of Gaza. It was the first such incident reported since the 2014 Gaza War. Israel is itself a world leader in drone technologies and used vehicles extensively in combat. Israel's Mossad spy agency is widely believed to have been behind the assassination of a Hamas operative, Mahmoud el-Mabun, in Dubai in 2010. We talked about that back in 2010, about the international Israeli hit squad that almost got caught. Israel has never confirmed or denied the involvement in that 2010 killing, but is strongly suspected in having a hand in the operation. Moving on, there is fake pot, which is leaving people in a zombie-like trance with 85 times more potent than marijuana. Get this. To learn what's caused the outbreak, we're going to talk about this tomorrow. It's called Spice, AK-47, 24-karat gold, K2, has many names, but it is in substance that's like marijuana. It's much more potent, and it's turning people into real-life zombies. We're going to cover this tomorrow. Until then, thank you for listening to Radio Pangea. I'm your host, Lauren Cartagena. And as always, please, 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 think for yourself.